good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody has had a good day so far. Hope this time has worked out for you well today and hasn't caught you off guard. We're not sure if we let everybody know, and so for those of you we did surprise, we do apologize for that. But we will try and stick with these times. We want to make sure that they work for the most people, but we will try and stick with this, and then we'll get our signs changed and our bulletin changed, and hopefully for the next 50 years or so we'll be on this this time, and we won't be confusing as we have. This has been a confusing year, hadn't it? Quite a challenging year in a lot of ways, but a good year for this congregation in many ways. We've had a number of new families come and join us in the worship, and we have truly benefited from that, and we're appreciative for that. We've lost a lot of loved ones in the last year. Not many have been related with the COVID virus that everyone seems to focus on, but the people that have passed have been just as precious, and so a lot of people have been through some difficult times of late, and certainly the Johnson family this past week has been through that. We want to keep them in our prayers, not only as they go through this time of mourning, but also as different ones travel back and forth. They've got quite a bit of traveling this week, and so please keep them in your prayers especially. We have, in the last year, gotten an awful lot of contributions for the 30-day challenge to fund it, and so we're starting up again with sending out invitations for the 30-day challenge. There's about, I don't know, maybe a 10 or 12 packets back there. If you'd like to grab some of those and help with the addressing, I think they're fully contained, the stamps and the labels and everything to go in the envelopes, and if you'd like to help with that, please do, and hopefully we'll be able to encourage a great number of people to begin to read their Bible on a more regular basis, perhaps, than they have in the past. We are continuing with a different type of a Bible reading, much slower than the 30-day challenge. Certainly, it's just taking a chapter from the New Testament each day and reading it, and with the idea of really getting a message from that, from God's Word, and then carrying it with you throughout the day. And for those of you who have other types of Bible reading programs, certainly want to encourage you in that. Whatever will help you get into the Bible the best and fulfill the command to correctly handle the Word of Truth is certainly what we want to encourage. But if this helps, hopefully it'll be one more tool perhaps in your chest to be able to read and study the Word of God on a faithful basis. I want to go back to a reading just a few days ago, Matthew chapter 13. When I started preparing this sermon, Clay had already just touched on it in Bible class, and I thought, this is perfect. He just kind of made mention of it and went on. And then on Wednesday, we really studied this particular parable. And so for those of you who are here on Wednesday, consider that the meat of it, and today is just the filler. But for the rest of us, maybe some of these will be some thoughts you hadn't thought of in a while. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, a familiar parable. Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, this is perhaps one of the most important aspects of Bible reading and Bible study is this very last sentence. He said, he who has ears, let him hear. He doesn't just say things. God does not just say things for to be saying things. they've got incredible lessons for us. They have incredible insight for how we are to live our lives. They tell us and give us warnings about the things that we may be doing that are reckless, that will keep us from God. And we need to think about that. He who has ears, let him hear. But we also need to think about the fact that when we handle God's word in a correct way, because of the power of God's word, it has an opportunity to expand. As one of our young ladies said on Wednesday night, it has the opportunity to go in an exponential way. It just explodes. And we're told that when the seed falls on good soil, it'll produce a crop 160 or 30 times over. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In the middle of the parable and the explanation is a comment that Jesus has to his apostles in response to a question, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But I want to go immediately to the explanation for the parable. So starting in verse 18 of Matthew 13, we also read of this parable in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. John really doesn't use parables in his gospel. His gospel was written much later than the other three. It was written for a different purpose. As a matter of fact, John's gospel, about half of it, is just over the last 24 hours of Christ's life. And so a much different focus. But the first three gospels really do have a number of the individual teachings of Christ, and they do focus very often on the parables. And so since they do so much, it's clear that God had determined that the best way, or one of the best ways, to get his message across was by giving people common examples that they could understand. Before we read Matthew 13, 18, I just want to read verse 11 from Luke chapter 8. This is the meaning of the parable: the seed is the word of God. So as we look at this, understand that the seed that's being sown is the word of God. And that's going to become really important to us, because the word of God never changes. It is a constant. Think about the events of this last year and how it's just been a roller coaster. Why has it been a roller coaster? It's because the truth that people are telling changes, sometimes on a daily basis. I remember when this disease started, and the head of the Center for Disease Control came out and made a really big deal of this. Masks will not help you. They'll do more harm than good. And after he got through speaking, the Surgeon General of the United States of America came out and said, that is exactly right. Masks will not help you. They'll do you more harm than good. Just within a few weeks to maybe a month's time, they came out, news conference. We all know that masks save lives. You must wear masks. And they've stuck with that really good. If you've ever read or heard of Bernays' sauce, some of you perhaps have, it was named after a man named Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays was the nephew of that really famous psychiatrist, the father of psychology, who I can't think of his name, but you know who he is. And he liked him so well, Sigmund Freud, that he interviewed him, and he came up with an idea on propaganda. And Bernays was really popular. Hitler loved his writings. Roosevelt loved his writings. And they used those writings to try and steer public opinion in the way they wanted it to. It's interesting what we see today in our newspapers, because our news media, because they all parrot the line. We all know that masks save lives. You must wear masks. Do you know what the message is on all the boxes for masks, unless you have a gas mask or an N95? There is a disclaimer on that box that says, this mask will not prevent the transmission of viruses. And most of them say this mask will not prevent the transmission of COVID-19. Isn't it interesting how we all know that masks save lives? Everybody knows that except for the people who make the masks. My point is not to get on these people. You can do that in privacy. My point is, has it not been difficult to go from one thing to another, one thing to another. This is the truth today. This is the truth tomorrow. Today, tomorrow, God is the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, His Word does not change. When we talk about this seed that's being sown, and as you read through the parable, you'll see that the soil is your heart. The seed never changes. So you never have to worry about something that God has said not being true tomorrow. That should give you a great deal of hope. It's nice to have something firm to hang on to in this world. We should have been hanging on to that anyway instead of relying on people, because people will always let us down. God never will. Look at the explanation, Matthew 13, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. I used to think that was really unfair. Well, if someone can sow the seed, the word of God, in your heart, but the devil can come and take it away, is that fair? But the answer to that is, yeah, it's fair. It's not. You're giving the devil the opportunity by having a hard heart. There's nothing wrong with the seed. God wants the seed to be planted. But if your heart is hard, that seed, the Word of God, cannot penetrate that heart. It's easy pickings for Satan to come along and take that seed away. The next type of a heart is the shallow soil, the shallow heart. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Guy was talking about that a little bit in class this morning, talking about how some of the friends that he had, he would notice when they were teens, they became a Christian, and they were just so excited about it. And then a month or two later, they were gone. What had happened? Well, their heart was shallow. The Word of God was exciting. It'll save you. I want some of that. I'm saved, and oh, I'm just so happy about that. But there's no depth to it. Now, we all should be very happy when we're saved. Don't get me wrong. We should all have that type of a response, that we are so happy. But the shallow one, they just don't look very far down the road. There's not enough soil there to hold the roots of the seed. And so as soon as there's not enough water, as soon as the wind blows, as soon as the sun comes out and scorches it, that plant dies. And so the seed, the good seed, the perfect seed that was the Word of God, didn't have a chance to take root, not because of a flaw in the seed, but because of a flaw of the heart. The next type of soil, as a matter of fact, the two next types of soil are the ones I believe that we can identify with the most. If you have worshipped for more than a year in a row, you're probably not hard-hearted. And you're probably not shallow either. But you have to admit, when we look at these next two soil types, that sometimes we kind of vacillate back and forth depending on the circumstances of our life. And that shouldn't be. The circumstances of our life shouldn't change our heart. But look what happens when we have things that we allow to influence our service to God. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell in the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Luke talks about, in addition to the riches, he also talks about the pleasures of life. But it's both ends of the scale, isn't it? It's the hard things in life that prevent those from getting serious, and the good things of life. And we all see that. We all give ourselves excuses for different things. Well, this happened to me, and so I couldn't serve the Lord in the way that I was wanting to. It can be good things, and it can be bad things. But the condition of the heart is always the same in this instance. It's divided. You remember what Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He'll love the one and despise the other, or he will hate the one and love the other. The idea is, or he'll cherish the one and despise the other. The point is that we might think that we can serve the world and God at the same time, but we can't. We can work in this world while serving God. We can enjoy the good things in this world while serving God. But we can't make both the most important thing in our life. There's only one priority in your life at any given time. You have to agree with that. It's what probably what you're doing at the time, whether it's a willing priority or a reluctant priority. But you only have one priority at a time. And when our heart's divided, it's just like that wheat growing up in the thorns. It just can't ever produce what it needs to. You've been in that situation before where it just seems like everything's kind of falling in on you and you just feel like you're choking and you just can't stand it and you can't see what's going on. And if your heart's divided, it will pull you both ways. Life's got enough temptations and persecutions and trials as it is if your heart is fully committed to God. But when we're trying to go half and half, it just won't work. That's the condition of the third heart. But the fourth, the one that received the seed that fell on good soil, is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. That exponential point. You're living the life and it influences people. You might not even feel like you have the ability to study with people, but just the quality of your life may be attractive enough to have people look at that and say, I want some of that. What are you doing that makes you have so much joy in your life? It may take you a lifetime to influence a handful of people, but look at that. That's production, is it not? The Word of God has an incredible power when that good seed finds a good heart. Now let's look at the explanation in between. Matthew chapter 13, back up to verse 10 now. After he told the parable, before he explained it, the disciples came and said, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." We've talked about the difference between miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling that we receive today. Well, by this time, the apostles had certainly, in a certain measure, received miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet they still didn't understand it fully, did they? But they said, "Why do you speak to him in parables?" And he just said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving." Now, let me give another plug for this. Whatever your method of reading through the Bible is, let me encourage you as you read through the Bible to either put something on your heart or put it on your heart and on paper so you can carry it with you. I've always liked these little 3x5 index cards. I've always got one somewhere with me where I can jot down something that I can kind of think about through the day. You read a scripture in the morning and it really means something to you, but by the time you've had breakfast, if you're like me, you'll forget about it. Now, if you're not like me, you can just keep it on your heart. But my point is this. There are those who are ever hearing but never understanding, those who are ever seeing but never perceiving. They read the words. They let their eyes roll over the page with the letters on it. Or they plug the CD in and they listen to it and they hear it with their ears. But it never penetrates. It's not God's fault. The seed's good. The fault lies with us because we have so many competing factors in our life. And so it's when we slow down and read the word and then we think about it. Like I say, think about it through the day. Let it roll around your mind. Really consider what it means. I really think that one of the great things we really need to be thinking about on a regular basis is someday you'll kneel before God. Nothing else at that point will matter as to whether you are saved or whether you are lost. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying that it won't be important to you for your family and your friends, your loved ones, but I mean at that moment, That's the only thing that's going to matter to you. If you're not thinking about it now, that's going to be a bad time for you. It'll be a terrible time for you. And God doesn't want that to happen. He loved you so much, He gave Jesus to die for your sins. Jesus loved you so much that He allowed Himself to go through the humiliation and the pain and the abuse and the separation from God when He was forsaken by God because He carried our sins. And you have to admit that had to have been the low point of Jesus' life. Do you think about these things? Or are you ever hearing but never understanding? This people's heart has become calloused. There's the hard heart. They hardly hear with their ears, shallow heart. They have closed their eyes, shallow heart, divided heart. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts the good soil, and turn, and I would heal them. And now listen to this, and just think about this for a moment. Does this talk about you, or does it talk about everybody else? But blessed are you because your eyes, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. We have the Word of God complete. We have the end of the story. We know exactly what it is that God wants us to live, how God wants us to live. There is a constant in all of this, and that's the Word of God. It never changes. One of the descriptions of God's Word is the truth. The only thing, the only variable in that is your heart. And it's up to you to decide where your heart is right now and what you'll do about it. The invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing.